Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to a special interview. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott on the line is the great Sam Roberts. Sam, how are you doing over on the East Coast?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic.
Doing great over here. Sam, first, let's get your plugs out of the way.
Well, the easiest thing that your listeners can do is check out everything that I do with Not Sam Wrestling. That's the podcast that comes out every Thursday morning. It's available wherever podcasts are, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere. Not Sam Wrestling is the name of the show. You can also get it and everything else at notsam.com. And we just started a Patreon page where I'm expanding the Not Sam Wrestling brand into something that's more of a kind of more of a content brand, putting up bonus shows, adding more video content, putting up behind the scenes clips. I think in a couple of days, I'm going to post a video of Joey Janela trying to dog train my dog, Lila Garrett, from the other day when he was over here doing the interview. So fun stuff like that at patreon.com/notsamwrestling. And of course, I mean, you know, I don't want to inundate you with plugs, but if you have SiriusXM, I do the morning show with Jim Norton every morning, Monday through Friday, starting at 8 a.m. on channel 103.
How did that go with Joey and training your dog?
He was actually way better than you would think. You know, I don't know. I think people see Joey Janela and they think he's just kind of psychotic. You know what I mean? Who just? But for some reason, he was very good with the dog. The dog, she's kind of a bad dog. So, you know, it's interesting who's good with her and who isn't. And that's kind of been the funnest part about having a studio in my house where people will come to do the podcast is that I get to see how they act around the dog.
That's great. So the dog isn't humping everything after Janela did the training.
Well, I mean, you know, she's kind of regressed a little bit, but I might move Joey in on a more full-time basis just so he can train the dog.
Nice.
Sam, when did you get into wrestling figures?
Kind of when I knew of them. You know, I guess I had this sort of idea of LJN figures, but I didn't collect them. And so I moved to England. My family moved to England when I was four. And so the LJN wave, I was born in 83. So the wave of LJN was kind of when I was either too young or I was overseas. So it wasn't really the same thing. But I think I was probably 6 years old or so. My dad went on a business trip to the States and he came back home and he opened up his suitcase, and I have a brother and a sister, and he gave my sister the Hulk Hogan with Gorilla Press Slam Hasbro figure. He gave my brother the Jumper Ultimate Warrior, you know, all series one.
Yep.
And he gave me Jake the Snake Roberts. And that Jake the Snake Roberts Hasbro was my first wrestling figure. And from that moment on, until now, I mean, this is 30 years later, it just became and consistently stayed a complete obsession.
Are Hasbros today still your favorite figures of all time?
Yeah. And I don't know if I don't think that it's ever been better. And that probably is the same reason why, like, you know, you think that the music that you grew up with in high school is like the best music ever. Like, I think that Hasbros are the best wrestling figures ever. And I think that Mattel's retro line is the best thing that Mattel's ever done. So, you know, I may be biased. I really do. Like, I post-collected a bunch of LJN figures, and then, you know, I ended up with a pretty okay collection, but all the valuable ones I just ended up selling so I could buy, like, MOC Hasbros, because I was like, if I'm going to have a collectible, I'd rather it be something that I look at and go, that's awesome, and I remember getting it, and I remember going to the store for it, and I actually am connected to it, as opposed to, oh, yeah, I just went and collected these later.
Which LJNs have you gone back and collected?
Well, so in like my high school years, when I was super cool, is when I really started to build up an LJN collection. and I had a good portion of them, but I think like the gem of the collection, it was all loose, but I had a mint condition loose Haku figure, which are pretty tough to come by. But like I said, I mean, maybe a couple years ago, I ended up going on eBay and just selling it because, you know, I was like, I like having this. I think it's really cool that I have it. It's a nice item to have, but I didn't have any sort of emotional kind of connection to it. And, you know, I have a much bigger connection with the mail away Hasbro Hulk Hogan, because I remember looking in the WWF magazine and seeing it available, and he had the red outfit on for the first time, and passing on it, thinking I would find it in stores, and then it never popped up in stores. So the that's what I mean about it. I was happy to sell off the LJNs to be able to use money for stuff like that that I wasn't able to get. The mail away Hogan, the green card 123 kid MOC, all that stuff.
So do you have a complete set of the Hasbros now, including the mailaways?
So the only thing in the Hasbros, I mean, it depends on who you're asking. Like if you ask Zack Ryder, no, I don't have a complete collection, because he has, you know, JC Penney ad, Green Trunks, Macho Man, and all that ridiculous stuff. I don't have a Zack Ryder level Hasbro collection, but in terms of a complete collection of like, these are what you could buy in stores, the only things that I would even accept an argument that I'm missing are the mail away Bret Hart with the purple heart. And I think that the mail away Undertaker from that set is like slightly different than the one that was in stores.
Just a little bit. Yep.
Right. So I don't have those two mail aways, but everything else, everything that was in stores, I have all that.
Now, also around that same time as Hasbro's, were you also collecting Galoobs?
Yes. And I have, and a lot of this stuff is in my parents' house. Like I haven't unpacked it yet and put it in my new space in my house, but I have the UK Galoob stuff. But,
oh, nice.
But I have it as in, like, these were my toys as a kid, because I was living in the UK when all that stuff came out. So I had no idea. Like, the WCW ring that I had was the one with the sound box, and I would just use the sound box all the time. Like, I had no idea that that wasn't the one that was available in the US, or, like, the fact that, you know, El Gigante and the Freebirds and Big Josh and all those figures were UK exclusive. In fact, this is one of the great regrets. I never got the Dustin Rhodes UK exclusive because I thought the figure sucked and I thought it was weird that his vest bolted on.
So
I was,
yes.
Like as a kid, I go to Toys R Us and I was like, I'm not buying the Dustin Rhodes figure. And then I get to the US and I start to get a little bit more knowledgeable with this stuff. And I'm like, oh, why would I passed. I could have just bought it for retail in a store. And I just I passed.
One question I do have, with the UK Galoobs, do you have Big Josh's axe?
No, I don't know where the axe handle is. I lost it like when I was a kid. Like I either lost it in the move from the UK to the US, because we moved back when I was like 8 years old. So I either lost it then, or I might have lost it before. But I remember having it in the very beginning. And for the life of me, I don't remember the last time I saw that Big Josh axe handle. I can see it in my head. I know exactly what it looks like. Uh-huh. I mean, I wouldn't begin to have any idea exactly when I lost it. But no, I don't have the axe handle.
That's one thing I always thank Scott for, because Scott used to have this Three Musketeers tin that looked like a locker, but he stuffed everything in there. And it was, whether it was belts, accessories, you still have that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Two of them.
Yeah. Scott holding on to that. I was like, dude, that's the best thing you could have ever done.
Because those accessories are so small and they're so easy to lose, especially like Sam, like you said, when you were a kid, you had them. It's so easy to misplace those. So to be able to kind of have them in one little spot, it worked out well. Plus, I was a little bit older too, but man, to have that UK collection would be amazing. Jeff and I have talked about it on the show so many times. It's one of our shared collections, the Galoobs, and we want to add on the UK series, but they're so expensive now. To go back and collect them is just outrageous.
Yeah, some of the gems, the Steiner brothers are awesome from that set. And the ring entrance, Lex Luger and Sting, I have both of those.
Yes. Oh, man.
They're just so, they're so great. It's so weird, like the design, because they're clearly, Galoob was such a, it's such a weird line, because you have like the ring entrance Sting is like one of the more perfect figures. You know, you can't like play with it, but in terms of display, like The jacket's perfect. You can even see, like, the jacket kind of raises up a little bit so you can see the bottom of his belly because he's got his arms flexed up. And it's like all this detail is put into it. But then, like, the Doom figures, Ron Simmons and Butch, their sweats and sneakers.
Yes.
Do you know the story behind that?
I do. I only recently found out, like, within the last year because I saw – I don't remember – it might have been from Ryder. I don't remember who posted the actual photos, but I saw the Galoob test shots. And I saw that Butch Reed and Ron Simmons were just in their sweats, and then they decided to make the figures. And I was like, oh my God. Because those would have been like legend, because Doom was like such a popular tag team in WCW.
We loved them. Yep.
And it would have been like legendary to have like the Doom figures, but instead – you got Ron Simmons and Butch Reed in their workout gear.
Yeah, I remember when I turned over the package to see who all was in the Galoob series when we first found him, and I saw they were making Doom. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I popped in the store. I'm like, yes, finally, Doom figures is going to be awesome. And then when they came out, oh, gosh, sweatpants and white sneakers. It was such a letdown because you're like, okay, they could put him in the masks maybe, but they're going to have the black tights and the boots, the whole bit. And yeah, sweatpants and sneakers. Thank you, Street Fight, for ruining everything.
Amazing.
So what's your favorite memory of playing with the wrestling figures?
I would go like pretty nuts with my organization of stuff. Like I'm sure somewhere it's still in my parents' house, all the notebooks I have where I would write down every card. And like I got to a place where I would do four TV shows and a pay-per-view. So I wouldn't actually do only one pay-per-view a month. But because I was playing so often, but I would do like I go, okay, this what I'm going to play figures right now. And this is going to be Raw, right? Or whatever TV show. And I'd have like six matches or whatever on Raw. And then every four Raws, I would build to an 8-match pay-per-view. And it would be in this cycle. But I started like there was a company that made food, like Barbie doll food. But all they made was food. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I bought every – I don't remember what the thing was called, but I bought every food item they made, like pizza, but then they made like stuff that was in boxes. They made everything. And so I bought all the food, and then I would go out into the garage or go to Home Depot with my dad, and I would build little tables out of wood and like build catering so that I could have like balls in catering. And this was like before grapple gear, before Jax had done any of these accessories. And I would just try to figure out like, how am I going to do this? And I ended up buying like a tiny little dollhouse furniture hinge, and I would build the tables out of wood and then put a hinge in the, cut them in half and put a hinge in the middle and then cover it with like a piece of fabric so that I could have it break. You know what I mean? Because it would, because that hinge would be there. And stuff like that. Like I would take my sister's dollhouse and I would make it so that I would pretend there was some kind of promotion where, you know, fans would enter and the winner would get to have the main event of the pay-per-view they'd wrestle in their house. So, like my first in your house pay-per-view with figures, actually they wrestled in this dollhouse.
It was literally in your house.
Yeah. And like my brother, I mean, this is how crazy it got. My brother got the Littlest Pet Shop. I don't know if you remember that line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he had his Littlest Pet Shop, and I go, okay, we're going to have an autograph session today. And I'd have, like, whoever, it was probably, I don't know, it was maybe, I think it was Diesel, and it was before Jax, and I was using, like, a Terminator 2 figure as Diesel. And I go, okay.
We had to improvise.
Right. And I go, Diesel's doing an autograph signing today. And literally, we would... Before I played figures, like before I played wrestling, I would have an autograph signing and have like the other figures come and meet this guy. And then I'd make my brother be the audience. Like that was my idea of playing with my brother. I'd be like, okay, now we did the autograph signing. The owner of the pet shop is going to come and sit in the audience. And I would play with the wrestling figures and my brother would just sit there holding his figure next to the ring. And I'm like, yeah, they're in the audience. They just have to sit there.
That is next level.
Yeah.
Literally, we've talked to a lot of collectors. Nobody has ever done anything like that before. And I like the element of being able to put or incorporate your brother into your playtime. I think that that's great. Jeff and I would sit separately. He would be in his room. I'd be in mine. We'd be playing. I love the idea of incorporating him into your playtime. That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, he would never like it because he'd be like, this is boring for me.
Yes.
And I go, want it. You can't. be any of the wrestlers, because I didn't know what booking the territory was back then, but that's what I was doing. I was booking the territory, so I wasn't going to let him screw around with the booking plans. But he's the one that had the pet shop. He's the one that had all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, we'll do some promo. And then, you know, you can come, you can sit in the audience, but then I'm booking the show. So it is what it is.
Did you ever have any heels interrupt an autograph signing?
Oh, yeah. And then I'd be like, we're going to have a match in the pet shop, of course.
I love it.
Every single toy, like, I'd pay attention to every figure that would come out, and it would all come back to, how does this fit in to WWF stuff? Like, how does this, like, McFarlane started doing cool stuff, and they made Spawn Alley. So I was like, okay, I got to buy Spawn Alley, because that way I could have an alleyway match where they're actually in an alley. Or I would take, like in 91, they did the jailhouse match at SummerSlam.
Yep.
So I think my mom was the one that helped me out with this. We took a cardboard box and we cut off the lids, so it was like just an open square made out of cardboard. And then on the front, she helped with an X-Acto knife, and we made bars on the front and actually made out of a cardboard box a jail cell, where the only purpose was so that I could have a jail cell match where the loser would have to go and be in this jail that we made.
I love hearing the imagination that people had as kids, because if you go back and listen to the Marty DeRosa episode, the imagination on him, and like we're listening to you over here, we love hearing the imagination that collectors used to have when we were kids. You know, I used to hold a tape recorder up to a TV to record music just to get people's entrance music.
Oh, that, yeah.
That was the only way we had the Pile Driver album that had Hogan on the front, but we didn't have anything. You know, no YouTube, no anything like that for ring entrances.
Yeah, you had cassettes and that was about it.
Yeah, that was like when they changed the when they would have the theme cassettes with the fan club stuff. So like I would join the WWF fan club because they would send you a cassette tape with like five themes on it. And then for those five guys would have like the best entrances.
whose theme would they put on there?
So they had one that had like Rhythm and Blues, the Rockers, the Texas Tornado, and the Bushwhackers.
Oh, whoa.
And they did another one with like the year later that did like the Boss Man. I don't know. They had like each year, I did it for 2 years, and both those years they would have a cassette tape that would have like five themes on it of whoever was big at the time.
I've never heard of those.
Oh, then I got to find them. I got so much stuff, and none of it was thrown out. Like, it's all in my parents' stuff. Maybe I got to find those tapes. I could probably, you know, be one of these Instagram stars that's got all kinds of retro records.
Sam, when you were booking your shows, and we've been asked this question a lot of ourselves when we played with the figures back in the day, but did you follow current WWF or WCW storylines, or did you go kind of off record a little bit and kind of do your own thing with it, make your own champions? For example, too, we had people tell us that back in their LJN federations, Paul Orndorff looked like such a Superman figure that he became their heavyweight champion. And we've had a lot of people tell us too, Christy Petrillo, for example, from Figures Toy Company, mentioned that Smash became one of his heavyweight champions in the Hasbro line. So did you kind of go along with what WWF and WCW were booking, or did you kind of do your own thing?
No, I was definitely inspired by what was going on in WWF and WCW, like definitely inspired in the sense that, you know, like Hogan wasn't doing any jobs, you know what I mean? Like that wasn't going to happen. But no, I was definitely writing my own stories and doing my own thing. And a lot of it would come down to like what figure was the funnest to play with. Like for me, with the Hasbros, the Jake the Snake Roberts body was probably my favorite body. And it was like on Jake the Snake. It was on El Matador. And I don't know if it was on anybody else. If it was, I'll think of it, but it might have just been those two. But like Jake Roberts and El Matador did fantastically well in my promotion because I liked those figures. Or like Hogan really started to do well when they made the third Hogan. I think, the third one that had the arm that was kind of hooked, like the one that looked really jacked. It wasn't
The Hulkster Hug?
No, that was the Hulkster Hug, I think, was the second. The one that came after that.
One arm flexing and the other arm you could pull up and down and it would kind of hammer down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That one, when that one came out, Hogan really started tearing it up.
But so were you, must have been a big fan of the Hogan that didn't have a shirt that was in the punching pose.
I mean, I was, but he was, the definition was so bad on that figure. Like, he didn't look muscular at all. Like, he just looked like, you know, he just looked like a guy. So at that point, that to me, plus in real life, Hogan was kind of washed up in my mind because it was before Hollywood. I was very prejudiced against people who left for WCW. So at that point, Hogan was more, he was more pushed to the wayside. And actually, you know, who did very well was Piper. Piper did very well as a Hasbro because I liked the t-shirt torso on him. And I thought that the belt looked really good on that figure. So Piper spent some time as the champ.
When Hasbros went away and Jax came out, what was your initial thoughts?
I was psyched, actually. My Jax promotion was probably even stronger than my Hasbro promotion. And that was because, you know, it was before the internet. So, like, Hasbros went away. And it was just gone. Like, you know, now we know there was this plan for the orange card, but the contract ran out and they were supposed to make this guy and that guy. But, like, we didn't know any of that. All we knew was that one day we heard that, like, there was 1-2-3 Kid and Ludwig Borga and all these guys. And then months and months and months and months went by and there was just no figures anymore. But it's funny you bring up Figures Inc. because, like, I remember I saw a Figures Inc. ad maybe in one of the magazines. And I was like, whoa, like, that was the first time I saw a company that was selling Hasbro figures that you couldn't get in stores. Like, the idea of resale, that was the first time that I saw that. And I became super interested because, like, a couple of guys that I hadn't been able to get, I was like, oh, like, you can buy them now even though they're old? And let me pick these up. And I'll never, never forget the excitement when I got the Figures Inc. mailer, like snail mail in the mail, and you open it up. And it shows you that there's this new bone-crunching series of WWF figures coming out. And it's Ego, and it's Razor, and it's Goldust. And I'm going, oh, my God, figures are back. And I was just so happy that figures were back. I was so happy that Diesel and Razor and Goldust were all getting made that I was super psyched. Like, in hindsight, you know, you look at these figures, and they're not good figures. And the monster ring is like the cheapest thing anybody's ever done. But I convinced myself that the monster ring was cool. I liked having all the figures, and I convinced myself that the bone crunching thing was cool. I was a big Jax bone crunchers guy.
Did you collect the Just Toys Bendems in between Hasbro and Jax?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't bring myself to actually have a promotion with them. Like, because, you know, they were more just like goofy toy things, but I bought all the Bendems too. Yeah. I bought all the Just Toys Bendems. I mean, you know, I would buy any wrestling figure I could get my hands on. So yeah, no, I bought all the Just Toys. I bought all the San Francisco Toy Maker, WCW toys. Even the repaints, I bought everything.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, when you mentioned the Sting Galoob, did you notice that the old San Francisco Toymaker Sting, they did him in the entrance jacket as well? They almost lifted that Galoob design.
As soon as I saw it, because I remembered it from when I was a kid, because I had it, and I was like, I knew that it was a significant figure. I realized that it was an exclusive. I realized that none of my friends had it. And yeah, I remember when I saw, and that was late in the line, right? That San Francisco Toy Makers did that?
Yeah, it was later.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was kind of cool, but I also thought the Galoob one was much, much, much better.
And you also mentioned that you used a Terminator figure to kind of double as Diesel in your figure federation. Did you never took your Just Toys Bendems and rolled them into your Hasbro federation?
No, because they were goofy looking, because the scale wasn't exactly right. And because, like, they weren't figures. It was, to me, the Bendems were something different. Like, figures were hard plastic and had articulation, and I don't know. I felt like, for whatever reason in my head, I couldn't take Bendems terribly seriously, and I thought that it really, with as much as I had put into my figure fed, I thought that it would take away from the integrity to have a bunch of Bendems in there.
Wow. Okay. And that's the strongest opinion I've ever heard on Bendems. Yeah, officially.
I mean, honestly, like, if I knew somebody that was like, yeah, I play with, like, I have my Diesel Bendem and he's in my Hasbro Federation, I'd be like, okay, so you don't really do this thing.
Like, I feel horrible.
Right. So you just have fun with these things then. You're not doing anything here. Okay. Good to know.
Do you remember your favorite match that you ever had as a kid? I remember Scott and I talked about, like, we had to pair up Warlord in the LJN and Axe, and Scott used to do Powers of Demolition because we never got Smash and Barbarian. And I remember Scott telling the story of, you know, him and the Heart Foundation, or them and the Heart Foundation. Do you remember your favorite match that was just like 30-minute Iron Man or just anything that you booked?
So I started, and this was way after I should have even been playing with figures. This is probably like getting towards later in middle school, maybe even the beginning of high school. I was, I also got into tape trading, and really, like, you know, as I stopped kind of playing with figures and was more just collecting them, I started getting way more into tape trading. Cause I was also like, I was a big figure trader online for a while. Mm-hmm. But when I started getting into tape trading, I started getting super into Japanese death matches. So I started, some of my favorite stuff was the ways that I would figure out how to do death matches with the figures. Like I would make, I would get wire and make barbed wire for the Attitude Ring that Jax made. Cause the Attitude Ring that Jax made was actually a really, really good ring, I thought. And so like, I'd figure out how to make barbed wire ropes, and I would figure out how to make like a scaffolding to go over the ring. So I could do like an ECW scaffolding match, and I would also drill a hole in the middle and put a string through so I could use it for ladder matches. And like, my favorite thing that I did was I realized, you know, those poppers you get as a kid that like you take them out and they're like little white paper and you can throw them around and a little pop goes off.
Yep, uh-huh.
So if you get a piece of plywood, like a real, like a 6-inch piece of plywood, and you tape like half a dozen of those poppers to the plywood and slam a figure onto it, you got a bit of explosives. So yeah, some of my deathmatch wars were probably my favorite stuff that I did, just because, you know, I had to go so far outside the box to try to pull this off.
Oh, how tall was the scaffolding? Like,
scaffolding was like ridiculously tall, just because like it's how big the wood was. So the scaffolding was probably at least 36 inches tall.
Wow.
Which, I mean, for a figure, you're going about an inch a foot. So realistically, I'm throwing figures off a 36-foot drop. Like, so I don't know if the physics of it work out, but I do know that mankind took a lot of bumps off that 36-foot scaffolding.
Did Cornette ever take a tumble off of it?
I'm sure he did. That was Ringside Series Cornette with the gray / navy jacket, whatever color that was. Yeah, I'm sure he definitely took a couple bumps.
Nice. Were the Road Warriors booked on every scaffold match?
No, you see, so for me, I wasn't really like an NWA kid. So scaffolding match, when I thought scaffolding match, I thought Tommy Dreamer and Brian Lee.
Yes.
In a ring with a ring full of tables under the scaffolding. Like, that's what made me want a scaffolding above my ring, was because I was watching so much ECW at the time. I didn't even realize until later that, you know, that the whole thing had happened within the NWA, you know, 20 years before that, or however many years.
What's your favorite story of finding a figure, like maybe going to a KB Toys or going to a Toys R Us, or like, what's your favorite figure hunting story?
Man, there were so many of them, like, and it's so funny, like, because I guess guys like us were so obsessed with it as a kid that we never, like, we still nerd out over it, like, we never forget it. And really, I mean, it's one of the, I wish that I could still kind of feel that. It's so difficult to feel that with the internet, because not only would you be finding a figure, but sometimes you wouldn't even know it existed before you saw it in stores. Like, I remember when we were back in the US after we moved back from England, really early, my dad and my brother went to a toy store locally that we had not gone to before because, you know, we were kind of new to the area. And he got back and he was like, Sam, there's new figures. And I went, what? And he goes, there's new figures. We just saw them. They have Jim the Anvil Neidhart and they have Sid. And I'm like asking him to tell me every detail about it. And we got to get back. We got to see if they still have them. And like stuff like that, like where I would just lose my mind. Or I remember, so, you know, Ringside Collectibles is this great company now, but I've been a customer and aware of Ringside Collectibles and John, who runs it, since John and I were both kids. Like, John was a kid when he started that company. And I remember his website, Ringside Collectibles, at the time it was members.aol.com/ringside15.
And wow.
Good memory. I would go to the website every day because I would, because even though Jax, that was back when Jax was putting out a series like every 4 months or so. It was like the beginning of Jax. But when I found out that he got pictures of the figures before anybody else did, I'd literally go to the website every day and it would be months that it wouldn't be updated. And then finally, one day, you would get that cash in. And I would have him on my AOL Instant Messenger list because with the members' AOL sites, whatever was after the slash was your AIM name, was your email. So I'd be like, okay, I know that that's his name. So I would like IM him and be like, do you know when Series 5 is going to come out? You know, but on the, I will always, for that, it was Series 4, Bad Boys, Jax. And that was the one that had Stone Cold and Farouk and Triple H and Justin Hawk Bradshaw and Jerry Lawler. And like, it was probably of the bone crunching era. I would make an argument that it was the best bone crunching era Jack series that they ever did.
Agreed.
And it was all heels. And he had photos of them up way before any toy stores did. Right. So I saw them and I was like, oh my God, these are the coolest things ever. Then he had them in stock, but he would get them right from China. So he didn't need to wait for a distributor. So he would get them way before any of these stores did. So that became this thing of me and my other buddy. We're probably in like sixth or seventh grade. And we were both like, okay, we were going to toy stores like every 3 days trying to figure out if they got them in stock. And it was like probably a month or two before any of these stores. And I got a phone call from him. It was like a Wednesday night and he was at the KB in the mall and he was like, Sam, they have Series 4. And I went, no way. And like, we couldn't find a Stone Cold. And he was like, they only have one Justin Hawk Bradshaw. So that's mine. And I was like, okay. And he was like, but they have two Farouks and they have two Jerry Lawlers. And I was like, get them. And they have two Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And I'm like, okay, get whoever they have. I'll pay you for them tomorrow. And then you have to run and ask your mom, I need an advance on my allowance. Billy found Series 4. And I had been talking to her so much about Series 4. She was up on everything. So she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, found Series 4. They have them at the mall. He's going to get them, but I need to pay for them tomorrow. I need an advance. Please, mom, they have Series 4. So, okay, but you know, this is an advance. You're going to have to work this off. So the next like 3 weeks, no money. And I'm like, okay, but I'll have three guys from Series 4. And I ended up completing my Series 4. Stone Cold was the last one. He was the toughest to get.
Yep.
But I went to SummerSlam 97 at the Meadowlands. Ooh. And at the merch booth, they had Stone Cold. And I was like, oh my God. And I was going with like my sister, who was like 4 years older than me. I was going with her boyfriend because he was also a big wrestling fan. Uh-huh. But he was also a big figure fan, which like drove her nuts. But we were both like, oh my God, they got Stone Cold. And we, you know, pushed ahead in the merch line so we could get our Stone Colds. But yeah, I would say in the Hasbro era, finding that Jim the Anvil series was big, and in the Jax era, Series 4 was a major one.
So do you feel that we call it the thrill of the hunt when you go into a store and you find something, it's a figure you've been looking for? In a few rare examples, the internet's kind of ruined it, but a series you didn't know was going to come out. Do you feel that the online experience isn't really the same as going to the store and what we call the thrill of the hunt? Do you still do that at all? Do you still go figure hunting, or do you purchase your figures online now?
No, I go to stores all the time. I like to get them in stores better. You know, that thrill of the hunt thing is right. It's definitely changed it. You know, I think with the way product comes out now, you know, I think that you need the internet because as quickly as stuff comes out, if you didn't go to the store for 3 weeks, you could miss two series and not even realize that these things ever existed.
100%.
So, yeah. And I think that, you know, being able to go back and it's making it easier to be a completist and all that stuff. You know, I think there's definitely positives, but I think that Mattel has actually done a pretty good job of bringing that back, because like the stuff like the network spotlight stuff that they were doing at Toys R Us and even some of the Walmart exclusives, like some of the store exclusives you don't see pop up on the internet until somebody on a message board says, hey, I just found this Ringmaster figure at my Toys R Us. And I'm going I was like, what? They made a Master figure, like that's the coolest thing I've heard in my life. And that's when, and then you kind of had that feeling again where you start going to your local Toys R Us's, or not anymore, you go to Target or whatever, and you know it's out there. You know that some stores have it already. It's not like you're finding out about it 6 months in advance and you're like, oh, let me see if I can go and find it. Or the first series of retros was the same way. Like, I knew they were coming, but I didn't know they were out until like somebody on the Wrestling Figs message board had found them at his Walmart. And I was like, what? They're out now? And like at that minute, it's so fun being an adult. That minute, I got off the computer and got in my car and drove to Walmart and was able to find them. And I was like, this is it. Like, I called my wife, who was probably, you know, wondering who was with our child at the time. But and I was like, I haven't had this feeling in like years. I found the retros. This is amazing.
And you didn't need an advance on your allowance.
I didn't need an advance on my allowance. I called Sirius and I was like, look, I need next week's paycheck. I know, but I found Retro Series 1 at Walmart.
You don't understand. Yeah. Do you have any good toy spotting stories from recently, from when you've gone to a store and maybe found a figure or two that you were looking for?
Recently, it's been like within the last month or two, I think it's been a little bit dry. I'm trying to think if there's anything more recent than those retro ones that really drove me up the wall. I think, I'll tell you what I got really excited by probably most recently was finding Gargano and Ciampa at a Target. I just found them. They were just sitting there on the shelf. I don't know that I've seen them since, but I was just like, oh my God, I like that they just threw Gargano and Ciampa in with the line that already existed. So it wasn't like this rollout. It was just like, here they are. They're just here. And yeah, finding the NXT Gargano and Ciampa figures a couple months ago, just sitting at a Target was like, yeah, found them. Like, did it. That's awesome.
Yeah, and they did such a great job on those two figures as well. Have you seen the new Hall of Champions set? They're actually in elite form instead of the basics.
I don't think I have. I was at Target, and no, because I saw they had the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels Hall of Champions 2. Oh yes, is that the one that has like the Undertaker and Ministry gear with the tag title?
So it's the series after that. Actually, okay. The new one has Ron Simmons with the 92 WCW yes. title, Kane, and DIY.
Yes, I have seen that, and that was like, okay, like I've been skipping a lot of the Hall of Champions and stuff like that, and I saw that, and I was like, I think I need the whole set here. This is amazing.
Sam, has there ever been a period where you stopped collecting, where maybe you were more focused on adulting, quote unquote, and you had to kind of stop, or have you maybe pumped the brakes a little bit and gotten a few figures here and there, or have you been hardcore collecting since that Jake the Snake figure?
No, I mean, I've been pretty hardcore collecting since then. There have been times where it's slowed down. I mean, you know, and it wasn't, you know, Jax's choice. It was just what we live in now. When figures started coming out as quickly as they do now, it became this thing where like it didn't make any sense to buy them all anymore. Like when you get so many repaints and re-releases and stuff like that, agreed. Like that certainly stopped, but that had nothing to do with adulting. It was just like, having a complete set of Mattel WWE is almost like it's stupid. It's not impressive anymore. You know what I mean?
Also so, impossible.
Yeah, and impossible. And same thing with Jax. Like even like the classic Superstars line, like you can't really, I'm not a completist and I don't think realistically you can be a completist. And if you are, I guess more power to you, but it seems like a lot of wasted space. But there would be times where I would kind of realize like the Titantron Live figures were the first figures where I was like, I don't know if I'm even really into these. Like I like that's where it started to be like, do I just feel like I have to buy new figures because like I don't play with these. Like that's when I really was like, I don't play with these anymore. The Titantron itself is cool. The Vince McMahon that came with it is cool. But when they started getting really cheap and Then they put out Ruthless Aggression, and I was way back in. Like, when they yes. put out Ruthless Aggression Series 1, I was like, yep, I'm back on board.
Yeah, but that was a game-changer series.
Game-changer series for sure. That Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio and, yep. and the fact that it was like – it was kind of like the Titantron guys, but it was like if you had actually done this right. I loved the Ruthless Aggression series. I really, really got annoyed when they started getting cheap and putting, like, the Titantron parts – on the Ruthless Aggression series.
Yes.
Because like I got to this point where I was like, okay, I'm just going to make sure I have one of every figure, one of every guy that comes out I would like to have a figure of. That seems to me like a good collection. And like, I was doing really well with Ruthless Aggression. The only one that I was missing was Kenzo Suzuki in that two pack with Rene Dupree. You know, and I that's still, I would love to have that figure at some point. But when they made that Luther Reigns that came with Kurt, I swear to God, I think about it now and I still get really upset about it. They make this Luther Reigns, and you know it's going to be the only Luther Reigns. They're not doing another Luther Reigns. And he's got Titantron arms. And I'm like, that's not a Ruthless Aggression figure if he's got Titantron arms. But now you're calling into question my entire set. Like, I'm not going to display it with these guys. But at the same time, is somebody going to be like, well, you don't really have everybody because they made that Luther Reigns. It really, really annoyed me. Or like that first set of Classic Superstars where the idea was so great. And some of the figures were amazing. That Ultimate Warrior was amazing, especially
outstanding.
You never thought you'd see another Ultimate Warrior, and you know, and just the idea of it. But then when the Undertaker comes out with Titantron parts, and when Andre comes out with like R3 parts, you're like, what are you doing? Like, you had it, you were there.
Yeah, double strap singlet. Yeah, bad.
Yeah, exactly. So like that stuff would really bother me, and that, but. I think they went through, like, the classic line, it was a rocky start, but then they really went on a run of amazing stuff, and then towards the end, they shit the bed again. You know?
Like, yeah, repaint city.
Like, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so it wouldn't be so much like adulting would stop me from collecting. It would be more like Jax would do things that would make me question whether my interest was still what it once was.
It's funny you got on the topic of bad figures. We often talk about the LJ and Rick Rude. It made our Hall of Shame in our Hall of Fame class of figures as our least favorite figure ever. Is there one that tops your list, or do you have a couple that top your list of your least favorite figures ever?
Man, that Luther Reigns figure was the bane of my existence for a while. I think, and you know, I think that I'm not the only one like this. Every Hasbro jumper ever, you might as well throw in the garbage. You know who's not getting a push in my federation was any Hasbro jumper. I hated those jumpers.
Your Superfly did a lot of jobs, huh?
Oh, my God. And let me – Animal in Legion of Doom, Animal was a monster. Hawk, garbage. Total garbage. but it, like the worst, you know, that Rick Rude one is a pretty good choice. You're any figure that can't do any moves, you know. I think the Ron Simmons Galoob figure is right there. Not even because of the attire. Like, I actually did a lot with the Butch Reed figure. I thought the Butch Reed figure was cool, but the Ron Simmons one, when you'd have arms that were stuck to you.
Yes.
Oh, the Ric Flair Hasbro is pretty bad.
Agree.
Yes. Uh-huh. Did you ever do any custom jobs on these figures?
Yeah, I did. I was a bit. So I'm not very talented at. I'm not much of an artist, but I would.
Don't worry, neither is Scott. Go ahead. Yeah.
I would in the Jax era, in the Bone Crusher era, Cruncher era. That's when I started figuring out how to pop heads off and stuff like that. And I did a lot of customizing. I started going back and customizing Hasbros, which is stupid. Like, I had a Mint on Card series, second Big Boss, you know, the second Big Boss Man Hasbro, the cool one that had the
Way better than the first.
Way better than the first. Yeah, the second Boss Man, you know, he got the push. First one did not. But I had one on the card that was just like an extra one that I had found at a KB Toys or somebody giving me as a gift or something. And I had it in my drawer of figures that I would trade with people on the internet. At the time, the Hasbro market wasn't anywhere near what it was today. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, whatever. I have this extra one. I opened it and turned it into Tommy Dreamer. And I was like, I love it. But not worth an MOC Hasbro Boss Man. But yeah, I did a ton of customized figures. And then I did, like, I would get Sculpey and I started making custom accessories and selling them on the internet, on eBay and on my website and stuff like that.
Did you ever name the custom? You take a Boss Man or something and custom up and change his name to a different character or a different...
Yeah, so I would do like my favorite made-up character was probably I had an extra Bone Cruncher Diesel. And first I tried to make him into Outsider Kevin Nash, but it didn't really – I didn't like it. It didn't really work. So I painted him up. I made his face dirty. I painted his leather pants blue. I learned how to sew. My mom taught me how to sew when I was young. So I made a cloth, a fabric t-shirt for him that was all ripped up and stuff, and made a little sign that was made of real paper that he wore around his neck that said, "We'll wrestle for food." He was Hobo Joe. And Hobo Joe did pretty well. And maybe that was because it's one of those things they say that Vince McMahon never liked the WCW guys as much as his own creations. I get that because Hobo Joe was my creation and he did really well. Or the gimmick that I gave Mankind was they made a series of figures from the X-Files movie, and the Mulder figure was perfect because, first of all, he was a guy in a suit, so that meant he could be a ringside official. He came with a cell phone that was the exact size for wrestling figures, which was perfect. And he came with an alien corpse that was on a stretcher. So not only could I use the stretcher, which I did, it was a perfect stretcher. I think they were McFarlane toys again, so the detail was awesome. So I used the stretcher for the figures, but then the body that was wrapped in white canvas, I left it wrapped so that it wasn't an alien. And I made it so that Mankind's new manager was Mr. Body, and it was a human cadaver. And so Mankind would come to the ring with a human cadaver, and that would be his manager. I still think that's a great gimmick for Mankind.
I love it. That's great.
Did the corpse ever cut promos?
No, but Mankind would make, you know how Mankind would make Mr. Sacco talk?
Yeah.
Mankind would make the corpse talk.
Oh my God. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love the imagination, man. That's one of the things that I see a lot of us older kids, back in the 80s kids, it's ideal. A lot of us had these creative imaginations that you just don't really see today from younger kids. But we had these imaginations to book shows like this, to do custom jobs, to do all that stuff.
Yeah, my son's a year and a half, so I'm interested in seeing how that pans out. Because right now, I don't know, he seems like he's entertained by Legos and stuff like that. But once he gets old enough that he's on his iPad and using apps and playing video games and stuff like that, I'm interested to see if that sort of translates, or if action figures were this thing of that was more for our era, and really in 2018 or beyond, action figures are more for collectors than kids. I don't know.
We've mentioned Jax, we've mentioned Galoobs, we've mentioned Hasbros. Let's shift gears to FTC. What do you think of their line that they're doing now?
Well, I think it's so cool because they're obviously based on the Ruthless Aggression figures, which, as we talked about, were a great line. But I just I know as a kid, I would have loved having figures of guys that you had never heard of, guys that you would only hear of on the internet. If you told me there was a line of figures of guys that were all the people that I never saw on TV but were in wrestling magazines, I would buy every figure. I wouldn't even need to have ever watched them wrestle. Just the fact that I saw them in PWI would make me be like, oh my God, and there's figures of these guys? I love this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I just think it's a cool thing. And, I think it's, I love that there's like Joey Janela. We were talking about him, that they're making a Joey Janela figure. That's amazing.
Sam, these days, are you a mint on card collector or do you open them up still?
No, I open them up. So I started, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I've gone back and forth. I started collecting Hasbros mint on card. I still have my Hasbros as a kid. I just have to figure out where they are at my mom's house and put them on display here in my place. But I did start buying from a couple guys on Instagram who had really pristine mint on card Hasbro figures. I started buying some of those and I like having them, but I'm not sure if I'm going to keep them because I like all the Mattels. I'll open them up. I have a handful of Mattels that I never opened that are actually, pretty good ones to have on the card that I ended up buying two of. But I would say more often than not, I'm a loose collector.
Okay. Do you have a specific way that you like to display them now? For example, do you have a big room or you just have a small space in your house that you're able to set up the loose figures?
Yeah. So in my basement is where I am right now. It's where my studio is. But it's also where all my figures and all my sneakers are. It's my area. I have two giant floor to ceiling shelves. That one shelf is the complete collection of Tonka wrestling buddies, but the rest of it is all Mattel. And yeah, it's all done. I have a Raw shelf. I have a SmackDown shelf. I have two Hall of Fame shelves. I have an Attitude Era shelf. I have a shelf that's WCW/WrestleCrap. I have a done by like the decade. So it's like a handful of 80s, early 90s, mid 90s, late 90s. I have an area, just like a small shelf area, that's guys that still work in WWE but aren't wrestlers, but they're not retired. So it's like, you know, William Regal and Tenzai and Booker T and JBL and Dean Malenko and John Laurinaitis are all there, because I'm not going to put them on the inactive shelf because they're WWE, but I'm not going to put them on the wrestler shelf because they're not wrestlers. So, yeah, I mean, everything does have a place.
Gotcha. Now, what came first for you, your love of wrestling figures or your love of wrestling? Which one came first?
Wrestling came first. Yeah. So, wrestling came for as long as I can remember. Like, I don't remember the day that I sat down and saw wrestling and was like, okay, this is going to be my thing right now. I just always remember wrestling being my thing. Like, I you know, the first storylines I remember are like, you know, the Sergeant Slaughter, Hulk Hogan, 1990 era stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's just where my memory starts to click in. I don't remember a time where I wasn't watching wrestling.
And it seems that you had a preference of WWF over WCW?
Big time. It was tough when the NWO came along. I will tell you that. The NWO became my favorite thing in wrestling. But in terms of promotions, yes, I was a WWF baby, born and bred. WCW was the competition. WCW was the ripoff. WCW was garbage. And WWF, WWE was always the real deal. I became a big NWO fan, but mainly because, let's be honest, the NWO, WCW can say whatever they want to say, the NWO was making it seem like the WWF was invading WCW. So that's why I liked it so much. So I loved that. And then I also became a huge ECW fan, but that was much later.
So do you have a favorite? Who was your favorite wrestler back then versus who's your favorite wrestler of all time now?
It's tough to say. It's not the same answer. You know,
okay.
Macho Man was my first favorite guy that I really locked onto. You know, I mean, I liked Ultimate Warrior. I liked Hulk Hogan and blah, blah, blah. But the first guy that I was like, this is my guy, I'm down forever, you're it, was Macho Man Randy Savage was my dude. You know, and yeah, you know, I loved Macho Man.
And he's your favorite of all time?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that has a lot. I mean, it's not the most difficult pick ever. I think that, you know, a lot of people would agree that, yeah, it's not crazy to say Macho Man is the greatest of all time.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Right. But I also think it has a lot to do with the fact that as a kid, I just related to him. So it was like, yeah, Macho Man was my favorite. And then, I mean, maybe I just like, not only was WWF my favorite, but I was riding the New Generation strong. Diesel was my favorite wrestler after Macho Man. I loved Diesel. I was running on Diesel power. When I found out, like, people think of Diesel as not a successful WWF champion and the business was down and blah, 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 I'm like, that is not the way I remember it, because Diesel was the...
But then not to have a Diesel Hasbro. That was so tough.
Crushing.
Absolutely.
Did you have the Diesel glove too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I had the Diesel glove.
That's awesome.
Sam, what is your top five favorite figures of all time?
Wow. That's a very tough question. The top five, you know, in my mind, like, you're not asking me the best figures. You're asking me my favorite figures, right?
Yeah. This is your opinion, your favorite figures of all time. Like, nobody can judge you because these are your favorite figures.
Because honestly, it would be, I would probably put the Stone Cold and the Diesel bone crunching action figures on that list just because I was so excited about them. I just think that they were so great. Like, I would put both of them on there. I would probably have to put the Jake the Snake Hasbro on there because it was my first one. And like I said, I like that mold, that body type for the Hasbros. I think my favorite Mattel figure might be the CM Punk with the mask that Ringside has as an exclusive.
So valuable.
Yeah. That's one of the ones that I have, one loose and one MOC.
Nice.
And I'm really glad that I do, because I love that figure. And it's the only time that head sculpt was released, and I'm a big fan of that figure. And for a fifth, let's go over to, You know what figure I really loved?
Which one?
The San Francisco Toymakers New Jack ECW figure.
Okay.
Explain.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big ECW fan, and I loved... I'll tell you which figures in that lot. I loved the Justin Credible figure. I loved... the New Jack figure was my favorite, and... I remember being a big fan of the Tommy Dreamer and the Bubba Ray Dudley figures too.
Those were fantastic. I'm glad you brought those up because we kind of glossed over like the Toy Biz WCW line and the ECW line altogether. So I'm really happy you brought those up because I think Old San Francisco Toymakers really nailed it with that ECW line. It looks so different.
Yeah.
And they had great mechanisms on them. I was a big fan of those too.
And the accessories were great. And
fantastic.
Plus, as a kid, like you'd been waiting, anybody that was an ECW fan, like I was, you've been waiting years for an ECW action figure line. Like, so that
yes.
was.
Yes.
But again, I mean, I think Toy Biz and San Francisco Toy Makers with both those two lines just completely ran out of steam. Like, Toy Biz had maybe Mattel, between Toy Biz and Mattel, those I believe are the two best first waves of any wrestling action figure line ever. Like the Mattel rollout that January 1st, when they first got there, I thought it was great. The figures were awesome. They had the basic and the elite and the two packs ready to go.
Yeah.
That was an amazing rollout. But the Toy Biz original WCW rollout, the Smash and Slam rollout,
yes.
was like amazing and exciting. And I was like, I think I like these better than Jack's figures. These might be, I remember saying, I was going on eBay trying to find them. These might be the best wrestling figures ever made. And Toy Biz completely lost steam and never followed up after that line. There'd be a couple guys here and there, like the Line Tamer Chris Jericho was a cool
yes.
figure, or the Perry Saturn with the dress was a cool figure.
Yep.
But other than that, I mean, they totally lost steam. And then the ECW line, like the first two series were amazing. The third series with like the Sandman and all those guys were completely out of scale. And then the last series with just all repaints, except
yes.
the repaints were colors that none of the guys had ever worn. Horrible. Horrible.
Did you have a hard time finding the Dudley Boys in that ECW set? Because I know aside from hunting the Bad Boy Stone Cold, which you mentioned earlier, I think the hardest that I hunted for a figure aside from that Stone Cold was the Dudley Boys from that first ECW set.
I got very lucky. I remember where I was when I found the second set of ECW figures. I was at a buddy's house. And we walked to a local toy store here in Westchester, and they had the entire set of Series 2 ECW.
Nice.
And so I was able to grab the Dudleys. But I remember after that, some of the guys were easy to find, and yeah, it was impossible to find the Dudleys.
Dudleys dried up quick. You're right.
Yeah.
Sam, we always like to have our guests have a wish list. Is there any figures you wish to see or any that you would like to see in the future?
And it doesn't have to be Mattel.
Well, it is because Mattel opened up. I mean, you talk about opening up Pandora's box. When Mattel started doing these wrestle crap figures that I lovingly call them.
You mean Isaac Yankum?
Isaac Yankum, Shockmaster, Red Rooster. Like when they started doing those guys, I was like, okay, so the world is our oyster. Like the stuff that pops into my head that I'm like, and Virgil, that I'm like asking Bill if he can make these guys. And he's like, Sam, like you're literally the only person. Like I want badly. Once I saw that shark figure, I'm like, Bill, I need a whole Dungeon of Doom. And I'm talking about even the big guy, the big fat guy who sits on the chair and never wrestles. Like I need Dungeon of Doom. I want the set. I want the thing. And he's like, you can't, no, it's never going to happen.
I don't know, we got Shark, we're on a roll.
That's what I'm saying. Like after that Shark figure came out, I was like, I badly want an entire Dungeon of Doom set. You know, you could put out a Zabisco, put them out as a Target exclusive, whatever you got to do. I will buy as many Dungeon of Doom sets as you need me to buy to make that a reality. You know, I think, you know, there's the obvious ones that I guess we'll never see. The Owen Hart, you know, is an obvious one. Yes. That I think, you know, there's many versions of Owen Hart that I'd like to see. You know, politics and social issues aside, just as a wrestling fan, there's many Hulk Hogan figures that I would like to see Mattel get a crack at. Mm-hmm. You know, I still think there are more Stone Colds. I'm surprised that we haven't seen more Stone Colds in the last few years. But no, I my dream figure is for Mattel to really start to bust out the wrestle crap. Like my if you want to see me flip out, If Mattel put out a figure of the Goon and he came with a hockey stick and his jersey was like fabric, a soft Goon jersey that came with Bill Irwin, that would like that would make my.
So basically just put out WWF of 95.
WWF of 95. Like I'm sitting, I'm telling you right now, I would buy three Alex the Pug Porto figures.
Yes. Yeah. So Sam, what about a gobbledygooker? Do you have Bill's ear at all to get a gobbledygooker made?
I told him and I saw the prototype they put out and I was like, yes, that's an amazing figure. And I don't understand. They're like, well, we don't think there's a market for it.
Oh, no, there is.
Yeah. I'm like, you're putting out a Red Rooster figure, but you won't put out a gobbledygooker figure? Like, come on, Bill. Like, are you listening at all?
So if they're going to do like they did the Festival of Friendship, they did the Hardy's Team Extreme, they're doing the milk truck. I think if they did a gobbledygooker and breakaway egg.
And Mean Gene Okerlund.
And you throw Mean Gene Okerlund in there, that is gold. You're printing your own money.
I think so, too. It would actually get, I already have a Mean Gene because I got to build a Mean Gene, obviously.
Yes. And
it would convince me that I'm like, you know what? I should have a second Mean Gene. I will buy the set with a second Mean Gene figure if it means gobbledygooker and breakaway egg.
You've got to spearhead this one, Sam. Otherwise, it's not getting made.
I will. I'm going to reach out to Bill tonight.
Yes. Hey, perfect.
And say, look, we've got it. We've designed it. I talked to the guys. We've got the plan in motion right here, ready to go.
I love it.
Sam, we want to thank you for being on the show and taking your time out for doing this. Would you like to get your plugs in one more time?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, we should probably talk more figures, but, you know, I don't know. I leave that to you guys. If you want to check out my wrestling podcast, it's Not Sam Wrestling. You can look it up on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube. We upload the audio to YouTube every week, too. And NotSam.com houses it all. We also have the Patreon page. You can become a Not Sam shill at Patreon.com/NotSamWrestling. And I've considered, I probably want to do it with a co-host. Maybe I'll ask you guys if you want to do it. I feel like maybe for the Patreon, like a good bonus show, a secondary show would be some kind of figures / collectible memorabilia type podcast. Because people, I mean, it's just like, you know, like we've done. We talked before this, before we went on the air, we were like, we'll probably go for like a half hour. And it's easily become an hour. And you, I can tell by your guys' voices that we, you know, we could, you could easily take up my entire night. Like we could easily go for several more hours just because this stuff is so fun to talk about. So maybe we'll figure out some kind of collectibles podcast.
Remember that whole 6 hours thing you were talking about before we started?
Yeah. We could do it and we're in.
And I would. I haven't even eaten dinner. I'm starving. And I'm like, no, we should keep talking about figures.
Yeah, we'd love to, Sam. We're in, man.
Well, great, man. Cool.
Sam, again, thank you so much for this, man. We greatly appreciate your time and go get dinner, dude. Go get dinner.
Well, thank you. And thank you guys very much for having me. I love that you guys are doing this. And, you know, as certain quote unquote superstars are debuting their own podcast, let's make sure that everybody remembers what the first big wrestling figure podcast was.
Are you talking about us? I mean,
people should, you guys should get credit for ushering in and doing this. Some, you know, now it's easy for people to say like, oh yeah, I'm going to do a podcast about figures. But when you guys started, it seems like it was kind of one of those things that like a whole podcast about wrestling figures. And I feel personally, I haven't talked to them, but you can tell Hawkins and Ryder for me, I believe that you are an inspiration to the Major Brothers. That's what I think.
Well, we greatly appreciate those words. It's one of those things that Scott and I just have a passion for, and it's never stopped since 85, going through the LGNs, the Hasbros, through bone crunching action, and toy biz. but it's just a passion that Scott and I have had, and it's one of those that just came to the mind driving home from work one day, and it's like, Scott and I need to do this because this is what we love. This is why we go to the stores and we love grabbing figures off the pegs and, you know, that rush of excitement when you do find a figure that you have been looking for. It's one of those things that you can't explain unless you are a collector. And Scott and I have that passion. It's just one of those we wanted to bring mouth to Mike and talk about him.
Absolutely. And before you completely wrap up, I just had a thought. I know it's another figure that should be on the list for worst figures, and actually the one singular figure that is responsible as a kid for me realizing I'm not going to be a completist. And I bought it, But I bought the figure and I was like, you know what? If they're going to be doing stuff like this, I'm not going to buy every figure. It's Jax's Shotgun Saturday Night Savio Vega. It's terrible.
Oh.
CM, yes. Why'd you have to bring that up, man?
Oh. We're going to close with that.
Like, he's supposed to be a Boricua Savio Vega, but he's still got the Nation of Domination hat, but they just painted it blue. And it's like, what?
So bad.
Here I was thinking you were going to say LJN Ted Arcidi or something.
No, I still got a Ted Arcidi. I don't have many LJNs left, but I still got a Ted Arcidi.
Again, Sam, thank you so much for this, and we greatly appreciate your time, man.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Right, thank you, Sam.